Hi, I'm Chris Marie. I'm so glad you're listening. In conflict, do you ever walk on eggshells, avoid sharing your honest opinion, or even hesitate to say no? Well, no more. Susan and I created a Speak Up Kit just for you. It's an easy-to-use, proven step-by-step process to find your voice and reduce your stress. To learn more, go to thriveinc.com/speak up. That's www.thriveinc.com/speakup. Hi, I'm Chris Marie Campbell.
And I'm Susan Clark.
And today we have a special guest with us, Stephanie Nash. She is a mindfulness coach and body language expert and speaker who is a senior teacher in the United Mindfulness System, which, by the way, she used when designing and teaching a mindfulness program for Harvard Medical School Brain Study. Stephanie is also a professional actress, and it was through her Yale School of Drama and Masters of Fine Arts training that she became fascinated with and now teaches how body language can strongly affect thoughts and feelings. Stephanie was a guest expert on a Deepak Chopra show where she taught her unique approach to laughing meditation and gives presentations on using mindfulness for stress reduction and anxiety relief and for increasing performance and productivity. Welcome, Stephanie.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
Yes. You have quite the resume and experience in
Harvard and Yale.
I know.
And I went to Duke. So we used to say Duke and Yale were four-letter words. Oh, okay. Right. Are you impressed by that?
Yeah. How did you even, it sounds like you started out with acting and then got into mindfulness and stress reduction. Can you share your kind of journey?
You mentioned a lot of it there. I listened and went, wow, okay, that's where I've been. I actually started as a musician. That's not on there. I was an oboe player. They're very serious people with good pitch. And then I went into acting probably for not the right reasons. I think I wanted more attention. But at the Yale School of Drama is where I really, and that's kind of considered, for people who don't know, maybe they considered themselves the top actor training program in the English-speaking world. Now, other people might argue with that, but they're pretty darn good.
And Jodie Foster went there as well.
She went to Yale as an undergrad. Okay. Meryl Streep went to Yale School of Drama. Okay. Nothing like going to Yale School of Drama and being compared to Meryl Streep. So listen about issues right there. But one thing I learned, the training was so extensive. You had some of the best master teachers in the world coming, and you were really, and excuse me if you hear my puppy do something, that's something we'll work with. Yeah. But I felt myself as I was doing the training, I was changing as a person. And I thought, why don't other people get this training? Because there's an agility and a flexibility of thoughts and feelings that are kind of helpful. How come everyone doesn't get that? So fast forward years later, I do incorporate that. The other thing was I noticed as actors, our job was really to affect others. And you talked about, I have a laughing thing I do where I had a pivotal moment at the drama school where if you just laugh, that affects people. And I thought, huh. And it affects how we feel and it changes our chemical makeup in less than 5 seconds. Yeah. And so that fascinated me. The other thing that you mentioned briefly in there was body language, how we hold our body affects how we think and feel. And I remember at meditation retreats, and then I started doing meditation years later, but I remember seeing people in a position I'd put an actor in if I wanted them to be really anxious. And they're coming in and going, I don't know why I'm so anxious. And I thought, okay, maybe if we get the shoulders down, let's start with the body. And so I did acting and but I wasn't teaching at that time, but I did become an acting teacher. And then I was a professor teaching director. So teaching is a separate skill that everyone in my family are teachers. If you played the saxophone, you had to go teach someone else how to play it. And if you really want to learn something, teach it. That's if I want someone to learn something, you make them go teach it. So I was doing my acting. Then I had an experience that kind of changed me as a person. And I went, I think I'm going to look at the insight in a different way here. And then I got into meditation and mindfulness and started teaching that because I'm a teacher. But my interest wasn't in what are the great things you can do with your eyes closed. Everybody's like, I can close my eyes and I just have the best meditation. You can take a pill for that. What I wanted was changing your life. So you're happier in your life. You're more productive. You're a better person. So I got very interested in practical applications of mindfulness. And then I worked with brain studies. I'm fascinated by the science of it all. What's really happening in there? And I have pictures of my brain. It's in there. People were wondering. And then the other thing that you probably gather already that I thought is missing from meditation and mindfulness and teaching was humor, was fun, was laughter. The laughing changes us instantly. And I found as a teacher, long before I was speaking or doing anything else, if you have people laughing, they open up and then you slip in what you want them to learn. I just started incorporating these tools that I learned as an actor into the mindfulness, but I did it because I saw it change me and I thought, well, that helped you. Oh, look, it did. Let's try that over here. So that's how my journey went from acting, but the fact I was a teacher and explaining things, and the more I taught, the more I learned. I grew as a person from explaining it to someone else. I got it more deeply. So teaching is my spiritual journey. And as I mentioned at one point, it's what you say, but it's who you are. How are you sharing the information? And I will just say, I appreciated that about you too. You share your kind of joy, your appreciation and love of each other, and it comes through. And so we see relationship, right? We're seeing the example of it. And so I like walking the walk, drinking my own Kool-Aid or whatever. No, sorry, Kool-Aid, not a good metaphor. But, and I just had spine surgery, so I had to work with pain and slowing down my speed limit. No, I got a puppy. So he had a different speed limit. I had to use my own tools of, this is a moment I think I'm going to look outside and look for something beautiful and laugh and see how that shifts my mood if I'm going, oh, this is just too much. Especially if you get into self-pity, that's just like a big black hole. And wow. It doesn't work for actors and it doesn't work for people. So that's, right. I don't think I've ever said it quite like that, but that's my journey from performing. And I'm still a professional actress. I'm brought to you by, I have a commercial, I won't name the product. I was going to say, I'm brought to you by somebody who, but I do a lot of commercials and I still do TV, film, but that's my straight job. And this is, I'm not going to change the world being on Dragnet or something. I can help. I can contribute. Why are we on the planet? This is really where my juice is.
I love it. And what people are missing, we may have to show you some of this, is you also do a lot with your hands while you're talking. Watching a dance.
That's quite. Well, come up and say, you do sign language, right? And I go, yeah, that's just me talking. Although Italians love me because they're like, no, we do not do.
And I was really appreciating, one, I agree with the acting techniques, like getting into your body and noticing and how you're feeling and what's happening. You're taking it personally. All those Meisner techniques and Alexander methods and are quite powerful for dropping in and connecting with yourself.
And you just mentioned Alexander, which is a different one. And that's something I teach a lot before I ever really brought in the acting. That's how the body is aligned. And now that we're all on Zoom and with cell phones, we're all curved in forward, head forward. And we go, gee, why is the back of my neck sore? Because your head isn't on top of your spine. And Alexander work, that lengthening can literally shift and help you feel more confident, help you feel happier, help you go through depression, getting that back. So Alexander work and some people might not know what that is, but you could call it a kind of posture work, but how the spine supports the body.
Yeah.
That's key. And
I, with my own chronic pain journey and rewiring my brain, have started doing laughter yoga on a regular basis. Especially when I get stressed. They'll be like,
No, I learned that. I do it a different way, but I learned it from this big, heavy woman who would just... And then she'd go, oh, and she's going to do it like this. And I thought, nobody else can do it like that. She had this, like Santa Claus, she had this
very resonant,
deep, bubbly, huge laugh. But any laugh, a fake laugh, gives you the benefits of a real laugh.
I remember doing laughter. They didn't call it laughter meditation, yoga. But with just a little baby's
Oh, yeah.
It's a very genuine, it's because it's so real.
And then you have the resonance. It's contagious. Yeah. It's like yawning.
I used to go in, well, two things about that. One is there's a video, YouTube video of a baby laughing as his father rips paper. And when I first started presenting laughter and stuff, that thing had 800,000 views. I think it now has billion or 100 billion or, and now why is it, and that little baby is now a teenager, okay? And so why is everybody, you can't watch it and not, it makes us feel good. The other thing I was going to say is I'm in Santa Monica, California, and there's a lot of big businesses here, and I used to go around to some of the businesses, and at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon when you're like, okay, now if I drink coffee now, I'm not going to sleep tonight. And, and I got 2 hours to, or whatever. And we'd go in a conference room for 5 minutes. And everyone would go in the conference room. We'd sit and we'd laugh. And I'd find a ringer. That's someone who laughs easily and has a funny laugh. Someone who's going, you know, somebody's doing something like that. And you find some, and I'd find the ringer so they could do it without me. And every day at 3 or 4 o'clock, they'd go, conference room.
Yeah.
And then they'd come out going, that was great. And they'd laugh for less than 5 minutes. A lot of the time, they didn't need the coffee. They had energy and they were relaxed. It gives you energy and relaxes, global relaxation over the whole body. So it can't be, it's free and has no calories. Come on.
Exactly. After anything to get you to breathe. Taking a breath is the freest resource we have, and most people don't use it. But laughing and breathing at the same time?
I gotta breathe at the same time. We do a lot of things. Luckily, it's already programmed in. I totally get what you're saying. It's like using the breath to help us be present and stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We like to pay for things, so that's usually what we end up doing.
Because then it's more valuable, right?
There we go.
We pay for the class, then it means more to us. We need to shift our value economy a little bit there. But
it's true. I love it. So laughter is a quick, easy tool, accessible to anybody. Are there other mindfulness tools that are simple, like our listeners could do while they're listening to the podcast or after they listen to the podcast?
I only wanted to ask you because it sounds as you've done all this great journey you've done, you've also been fascinated by the science behind it. And that I imagine is, we love to talk to people who are using this in a form of trying to also help people. Some people need evidence before they're going to do anything. I'm not someone who does, but I do know that a lot of people do. And you sound like you get fascinated by it. So any particular science around this idea of either laughter, mindfulness, or even body language that you want to speak to?
Let's see. How much time do we have? I'll tell you what. I threw out a couple with laughter in terms of science because I've done a lot of talks on laughter, also on gratitude. You know, people who do a gratitude practice have higher goal attainment. They get their goals more. And gratitude practice can mean you're closing your eyes and being grateful for things for half an hour. Or it could mean at the end of the day going, I'm really grateful about that. Doesn't matter. And so I'm fascinated that, and then I interviewed a woman, Amishi Jha. She's in the University of Miami, and she was working with military and frontline during the pandemic, frontline responders and medical, and saying, what is the least amount of meditation we can do and get the highest result? And she went, okay, because they're not going to sit there for that 45-minute MBSR thing. Fireman. And so she went down, and for her, because we'd always say 10 minutes. If you get 10 minutes a day, and she said, no, it's 12. If you go down to 12 minutes, you go down, you still get benefits. You still get benefits. The minute you go below 12 minutes, the benefits drop. I go, ooh, interesting. Write that down. In terms of laughter gives you endorphins and stops cortisol on a dime. Okay.
So you can
be sitting here going, oh,
you have to be
I'm so stressed. I have that terrible thought. And why did he do that? And I just can't. And go, okay, what was the thought again? And I developed that one to unplug sticky thoughts because it isn't, I was working with stress. And what is stress? It's usually these negative thoughts that we're repeating again and again in our head. And usually they involve some self-judgment. So I was using it that way. But other thing laughter does, it lowers blood sugar levels and type 2 diabetes. It, off the top of my head here, it helps your heart. It strengthens your heart. There are a lot of studies of laughter strengthens your heart. So there's all sorts of things. The breath out, I can show you when you wanted to do something with the breath. So when we're stressed, we have a sympathetic nervous system.
let's get sciencey here, and a parasympathetic nervous system. What is she talking about?
Okay, so sympathetic nervous system is fight, flight, freeze, stress. That's cortisol going into your body. And if you don't know what cortisol is, if you've ever felt like really agitated and icky and, oh my God, what's going to happen? That's cortisol. Okay. Now, how do you stop that on the dime? Okay. This crazy woman told you to laugh, but here's something else you can do. Science shows when you extend the exhalation longer than the inhalation, you activate the parasympathetic nervous system. That's our rest and digest. That's the one that balances the sympathetic nervous system, but we're all living in sympathetic nervous system land. We're living with that red button pressed. But the minute you extend the exhalation longer, that stops cortisol, and it totally relaxes the body. I'll show you this in a second. But what there was an interesting study, and I think it was a year ago, and there was only one study, so I like several before I say it, but I'm going to say it anyway, that it was a difference between men and women and how they process the cortisol that's already in your body. And that women, like if you laugh or do this and you get rid of the cortisol or stop cortisol from being produced, women, the cortisol in your body will dissipate, according to this study, in about 5 minutes. Men, sorry, it's about 25. So you got to go walk around the block, which kind of made sense biologically. Like women had to make sure the kids were okay. And then he had to go, if he went, oh, that was great. And then the saber-toothed tiger comes back. It goes, no, you're too relaxed. No, you need to be, I don't know. I could see that. It was just one study, but I knew that when I was working with men, I'd always add like push-ups or walking, or I always added something physical. And I went, oh, look, there's scientific proof for that. So I can do something with the breath, but do you have something else you want to ask about or talk about before I show you a cool breath?
No,
no, not really. Oh, just listen. I can give you popcorn. No, I also teach eating, mindful eating, and that's a whole nother game.
Oh, it would be
that's
good.
That's a whole nother specialty. I just didn't
we'll have you back for that. Well,
yeah, that's a big one. That's a big one. But here's something I call three breaths. And it's not just taking three breaths. It's three big breaths, but three different ways of looking at it. So breath number one, you take a big sigh in and a big sigh out. So right, you take a big breath in, big sigh out. Now, did something let go? Did you notice something let go? Was it something that you noticed was tight before you took the breath? Probably not. So do it again and just notice what lets go when you take a big breath out. And so it might be right in the front, around the ribs or diaphragm, might be the jaw, it might be places of habitual tension, neck, shoulders, right, chest, something lets go. Okay, that's the first one, noticing just what lets go naturally. Number two, you pick something to let go of. You are in charge. What do you want to let go of? And if you can't let go of all of it, let go of just a piece of it and you get points, okay? Could be jaw, neck, shoulders, belly, a thought, anything. Just let go of something. Big breath in, breath out. And a lot of people like that. It's empowering. You got to choose.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Third breath is gold. This one's my gold. So on this one, we're going to split our focus. And half of your attention is going to be on something that physically let go in the body. Like what we did, like what naturally happened on that first breath or what you chose to let go of. You're going to feel that tangible release. And that's where half your focus is. The rest of your focus is covering your whole body out to the outer edge of your whole body. And see if you notice during the exhalation, even after the breath is over, see if you notice a subtle wave spread of softening radiating out into the body from that one place of release. And my analogy for this is like dropping a pebble into a pond. You drop a pebble into a pond, there's a splash, but there's a ripple that goes out for a long ways. You be the water, and the breath will be the pebble. And let's just try that now. Big breath in, breath out. Feel that thing and just notice, is there a subtle wave of release? And it might feel like a warm vibration. And some people, the reason we close our eyes in meditation is so that more real estate of your brain can tune into what you feel. So if you didn't close your eyes first time, try closing your eyes this time and feel that release in the middle and any wave of softening. Did you feel it? a little mm-hmm. wave of softening. That's mindfulness. You've been breathing out a long time. No one's ever said, hey, did you feel that wave of softening? So when I'm stressed or I'm in pain or the puppy's doing this, I go right to number three. I go, because that not only activates your parasympathetic nervous system and stops cortisol, but makes you feel totally embodied because your awareness is covering the whole body as a non-solid event, as a fluid event.
Because one of the things that we often talk about is this idea of we're energy vibrational beings, and we're also dense matter. And so anytime we're the bridge between what's that invisible energetic vibrational world and what's planted and landed here in the body. And it's always, there's always a relationship between those two things. And a lot of times we're either stuck in our bodies or sometimes people can transcend and be like stuck.
But it can be an avoidance or it could be like, hi, I'm not in reality. I live in China and I'm just like one of these hippie people. Yeah.
Yes.
In science, and I was told this, I'm not a scientist. I just like hanging out with them. But I was told that for everything, there are two equations. You can do an equation for it as a particle, which is solid, or as a wave. So everything can be looked at is a particle or a wave. And in many ways, I feel like what I'm doing, what we're doing is waking us up, because waking us up to our wave nature. We got the particle stuff down, but we need to balance, just like we need to balance sympathetic and parasympathetic.
Right.
We need to balance solid with fluidity. And I emphasize fluidity and hanging and all that kind of stuff. And as you notice, I know we're not, but you see my hands are doing fluid things all the time. And so even if you weren't feeling fluid, you will be by the time I wave my hands at you several times. No, I'm joking. So I think you're absolutely right. It's a dichotomy, but they can coexist, this solidity and fluidity. And I think that's our healing. I think that's also our healing personally, our healing with stress, our healing in the planet.
Very much. This also applies because I'm always a big believer. I become more and more a believer of the possibility of meditation. I've always had, that's a powerful thing, but sometimes it misses really being in the body and the practical applications. Even like in the particle wave piece, when I actually go to a sensation, I'm going to the particle where I feel the sensation. And if I can actually breathe into that sensation, I'm freeing up the energy of it being that on an individual level. And then if we did that more on a planetary level.
And sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay.
You have more. What you just described, I go to a sensation, I feel the sensation, but I breathe into the sensation. How a very powerful way of processing emotions. And let's just be frank. The world is not processing emotions very well right now. Okay. And we can all use a little work. But a real key way to process emotions is to let go of the story. And if you can't let go of the story, just stick it on a shelf for a moment. Your attention to where in the body you feel the emotion, just like any sensation, just what you described, you can breathe into it. But you could just notice, is there any movement? Is there any change? Are the boundaries a little roughly? Is there, and if not, if it's a solid, hard mass, you can breathe into it and let it flow and start to notice movement of the sensation. And then we get what I call digestion. I work with food and eating a lot, so I use that metaphor. What is digestion? We take the nutrients and we get rid of the waste. And with emotions, they're there to motivate us and direct us. But if we don't let them flow on through and become fluid, then we're sitting in our own waste. Okay. And so you just described a perfect way of that helps with pain, but that also helps with processing emotion. So I want to mention.
Yeah, no, that's great. I think so much of our current stuck in polarization comes from undigested, our own inability to hold our differences inside ourselves. And of course we can't hold differences outside of ourselves. And if you can't
get attached to the story, it's true. The story is right. I can't let go of the story. The story is putting logs in the fire of the emotion. And then it just, we go around, we got a loop. Yeah. look anywhere on the planet at the moment.
Absolutely. And so I love this. This is, I could keep talking, but to try to, I also want to make sure, are any other kind of tips or final, like things you'd love to offer our listeners? And
one thing we didn't do, I love that you guys went for laughter, because I always love laughter and I love the breath out. One thing, another kind of quick tip tool, and we could even put it with the breath. See, if you take a big breath in, big breath out, you feel the release with your eyes closed, then open your eyes. Still feel what feels good as you open your eyes. Then the part of your brain that's going to process and think of what you're going to do starts to align, and neural networks start to wire together, and then look around and find something beautiful, a color you like, a view out a window, a partner, a pet, a painting, something that makes you feel good. I like light on trees with a thing moving, and I look out windows. That's my first go-to. Find something. It doesn't have to be, oh my God, it was a Van Gogh, right? It can be anything. And so you're combining, then you're going, breath out. You've got that relaxation. You open your eyes. You combine it with the part of your brain that does things. And then you go to something that makes you feel good. It could be a saying on the wall or a picture. And then you can smile if you like and close your eyes and notice how you feel. And know that's a reset you can do in any moment.
That's great. Are we going to try it? Let's just
Let's do it.
Okay.
I want to do it. All right. Good. So big breath in, big breath out for the release. We know this. We've done it. Nice close. Really feel that spread. Now open your eyes and still feel what you feel in the body, what's releasing as you open it. So look around for something that makes you feel good. I got some flowers over here. Something that and just notice. And when you see something that makes you feel good, it can be beautiful, it can be fun. Notice what you feel in the body differently when you see it. What happens in there? Yeah. And then close your eyes. And if you want, you can smile and notice what a smile feels like to do. Mm-hmm. And this is, and you've got your hand on your heart. And a lot of people do that at this point. And you can just notice that you've just done something for yourself. It's an act of self-care, actually. Mm-hmm. And smile and open your eyes and take that with you. Still feel that as you go about your day.
Yeah, I love those little simple things.
I do.
So easy. And really, that's one. We work in high conflict situations. And a lot of times it's with a team that's, and I know sometimes if I just remember, just do the simplest thing to look around the room, take a longer breath, like you said, exhale, and look around. Nobody usually notices that's what I'm doing, and find something. I have found that technique to be very effective, and one that does not disrupt people, but has an immediate impact. So
with groups of people, sometimes if I'm working with a room kind of like you are, I say, okay, now it's time we have to get and look out the window. And I don't even tell them what to do. I say, just get, you have to go and look out the window. They're like, why are we looking out the window? I don't know. Just look out the window and I'll sit back down. They're like, how do you feel now? I don't know. It opened up my mind in a certain way. So you can just go to town with that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
great. I'm so glad you do that organically. Yeah.
Yeah. So this has been great. So one piece, like also, how can people find you?
So I have a website that is strategic-mindfulness.com. It's got a little dash between strategic and mindfulness. And I've got an app I have just created, because there's a lot of meditation apps, but I was interested in getting people in their bodies, as you get that I'm into that. And we didn't do a lot of body stuff here, but we talked about it, mentioned it. Mm-hmm. And my app is called Rewire You. And it's available on Apple and Google. And you can just go to Rewire You and download it. And there's a lot of stuff on there for free. And if you sign up for a monthly thing, there's more. And then there's also access to certain special workshops if you're interested in exploring something more deeply, eating or embodiment or something else. I have a lot of different, letting go of negative thinking and judgment is this amazing long workshop that I think a lot of thousands of people have. You think, hey, I didn't know you could do that to let go of negative thinking and judgment. That's another one on there. So Rewire You is the app, and the website is strategic-mindfulness.com.
Okay. And I think you also have something on the Insight Timer, if I'm not.
Oh, yeah. I might just Google me, Stephanie Nash, on the Insight Timer, and I've got courses on there, and I'm all over there. They just asked me to be part of a, in fact, they had a challenge of 15, they have 17,000 teachers on there, and they asked 14 of us to be on a Strategies for Stress Summit. And the woman called me and said, you help with stress, right? And I'm like, oh yeah. And she said, could you do any of these? These are the things we have. What could you do? And I went, well, all the things I do, none of them are on there. So I gave her a list and she went, laughter. Could you do laughter? And everybody always loves that. So I've got a few laughing ones on there if you want to go on there.
Okay. I always like laughing ones. Yeah. But I think I've seen it on
YouTube. I'm also on YouTube. Yeah.
Yes. So this has been great. And we'll make sure that this gets on the page so people have a contact point too.
So yeah, thank you both so much. Enjoyed this time. And I so appreciate that you're not just doing what you do in the world, but you're bringing in other people to just widen and deepen this whole lovely process of evolving as human beings.
Yes. We need to evolve.
No, we're doing the best we can with it.
We also need to laugh at ourselves sometimes. So that will help with the evolving process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's. I'd say if I had to have one secret key thing for me, it's laughing a lot. And the more you laugh, the more you laugh at things. The more you practice laughing, the funnier things seem, including yourself. Yes. Just kind of get in on the joke.
Yes, exactly. Well, thank you. And
thank you.
Well, thanks for joining us. We hope you found today's episode valuable. If you want to take some of what you've learned on today's episode to the next level, check out our new step-by-step, easy-to-use team kit to get your team from avoiding conflict to discovering the beauty in conflict.
Go to www.thriveinc.com/teamkit to learn more. That's www.thriveinc.com/teamkit.